Blog Talk Radio.
When it's time to party, we will party hard. The Los Angeles Kings are the winners of the 2012 Stanley Cup, and I got to ask, are you satisfied with this? I mean,
I am never satisfied.
You know, obviously we're not satisfied as Pens fans with anything other than the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup, but Mike Richards, Jeff Carter, Simone Gagné, you know the Flyers hate seeing that, just 1 year separated from a lot of those guys wearing the black and orange. Columbus Blue Jackets fans are all up in arms because they have something against Jeff Carter. Maybe it has to do with the fact that their team sucks, and Jeff Carter didn't make it better, and then he went and won the Cup.
A little more to it than that.
I'm not exactly sure.
A little more to it than that, Ken.
Yeah, well, come on, man.
I'm just saying. There's a difference between the team sucks. We all know that. But there's a difference between sucking and trying and sucking and quitting. That's why Rick Nash is loved by Blue Jackets fans and Jeff Carter is hated. A little bit of a difference there. But I understand what you're going with.
Why should Rick Nash be loved by Blue Jackets fans in that case? I mean, yes, it's been 10 years for him as opposed to however many years or seconds it was for Jeff Carter in Columbus. But, I mean, you're running in the same type of situation there.
Nash didn't quit on the team. There weren't a bunch of reports about Rick Nash saying that he didn't want to play there even when he was healthy.
I'll give Rick Nash this. He's not to blame for the fact that he's a shitty captain.
What the hell is wrong with you tonight?
Jeez. But anyway, getting back to Jeff Carter.
No respect, none. Sickening.
Really, there is none. But I don't care. We're not talking about the Blue Jackets because this is a relevant show.
You have an agenda tonight, man. You are like...
This is why I said I wanted to open. But okay, so...
We should have played the parental advisory in the beginning of the show.
We should have done that. We should have warned everybody in the state of Ohio that Ken was going to just...
Hate on him.
Yeah, just completely make their lives miserable.
Bringing a haterade, you guys.
It's true.
You're one of the worst. You should be thanking the Blue Jackets. They give the Penguins 4 easy points every single year. Instead, you're launching this campaign against how much you hate them for no reason at all. What's even worse? You started off this show like stopping up the LA Kings. You're like, the LA Kings won. And you satisfied the Flyers of players that, you know, want to stay with Cubs with LA. And the Blue Jackets are the worst thing that's ever happened to human existence since the Civil War.
There's no connect.
The Penn Station Radio Show. Thanks for playing along.
I have a hidden agenda, and I don't think I've made any bones about that from the very beginning, which is a contradiction.
Oh, I know. You hate the Blue Jackets, we know.
He said bones.
I just hate their fans. Just move the frickin' team.
You have an agenda against the entire city of Columbus.
I do, a little bit, except for the Crew fans. I like the Crew.
And Joe Depp, though.
Why that?
Now that he's in Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
It's a better place now.
Now too. Which reminds me, you got to hang and you got to check out all those cool Columbus places, which there are some. I actually kind of miss it now, but anyway.
You are bipolar Columbus hating tonight.
So, I kind of missed it.
Can
you guys let me stay on topic here?
Wait a minute. You're talking about you staying on topic.
Yeah.
You're the one hating on the Blue Jackets for no reason at all. Jeff Carter talking about the Philadelphia Flyers and the Kings winning the Cup all in one.
I think the
grandiose.
We let you wrap the bow around this whole thing.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway. When the Penguins lost, there was a fear about how far the Flyers would go. and how much damage they could do in these playoffs. Luckily, that was quickly taken care of in the next round. After that, I think we were all still a little bit bitter about some of the things that went down with the New York Rangers, plus the New York Rangers, and dealing with John Tortorella. Nobody...
What?
Timing, guys, come on.
Give us some kind of heads up.
Like, we got to get you to, like, Blog Talk Radio Adderall or something. You're on ABP tonight, brother.
Only a producer. Well, I'm going to give you another chance. Here we go. So I think a lot of people are bitter about how things went down with the New York Rangers and John Tortorella.
Just no respect. None. Sickening.
Thank you.
How's that for time in second?
That was perfect. Lovely. And then, obviously, that all took care of itself. The Washington Capitals, we were concerned about, but I don't think anybody was worried that was going to go anywhere, although they were doing a lot of the right things all season long, and it finally kind of started to show itself a little bit in the playoffs, too. So... if all these nemesises all throughout the league, and including the New Jersey Devils, who are a division rival, a little bit less hated than some of those other groups, but still, they make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Were you satisfied to see the Kings win this, or were you actually pulling for the Atlantic Division brethren? That was my question. I just took about 10 minutes of the show to ask.
Yeah, that would have been that was a hell of a dichotomy of conversations. To answer your question, I wasn't rooting for the LA Kings. I was actually, if I'm going to be totally blunt about it, I mean, I wasn't really rooting for either team. But if I had to choose, I would have went with New Jersey easily because, like, I don't understand this whole argument towards, like, the Kings and people wanting the Kings to win, to stick it to the Flyers and the Flyers management and all that stuff. To me, that's just a really, really dumb way to look at it, if you ask me, because it's like Jeff Carter and Mike Richards and these guys, they didn't get any more likable just because they're playing for the LA Kings. Like, Dustin Brown is one of the quietly most dirty players in the league. I just don't think their team's very likable. There's Hextall still got a big presence there. There's still just a lot of the same stuff that, I got a lot of flack earlier in the season for saying that I respected about the Flyers. It's because it all got dumped over the Los Angeles. So I think I'd be kind of right if I sat here and pumped the Kings' tires. Plus, it would be kind of cool to see Marty go out on top, which he obviously didn't. But,
I think a lot of it had to do with the LA Kings Twitter. Everybody fell in love with that thing.
Yeah.
Well, they let Alyssa Milano run it one night. No, only does the NHL account.
Wow.
Not bad.
For a little while, it was the same thing.
As a side note, and I'm not going to actually quote anything that they're saying, this is completely unrelated. I'm sorry. I know I rarely do that. Everybody needs to check out the country of Sweden, their official Twitter account. They're giving it over to actual Swedish civilians and citizens with no filter.
No. Seriously?
Wow. Yeah.
I knew
this week.
I think we're socialists, but jeez.
This week is pretty out of control so far. I'm not condoning or endorsing what the current Twitter handler is doing or saying, but check that out if you're interested in racism.
Wow.
That's crazy.
What is it again? What's the handle?
I don't know. At Sweden.
Oh, is it just that Sweden? I get the U.S. Embassy when I look at it.
That's what I got. That's what I got.
That's Sweden.
Oh, I don't know Sweden.
Oh, man. That's Sweden. That's the mother of two.
Apparently following Sonia, a new Swede every week. Holy mother of two. You're up side by side with awesome nature. 27 years old. This is exciting. He's the type of
Ken, what are you on tonight?
Sweden. No, I'm Sweden. That is Sweden's Twitter account. It's just that Sonia is running it this week. I'm dead serious.
Sweden's actually 27 years old. That's it.
Yeah, this is exciting.
You're gonna keep going blind if you keep following Sweden.
Even Shiro can back me up on this.
Yeah, I see that. I wonder what another neutral country out there, like Canada, has to think about doing something like this.
This is where Ashley comes in.
This is where Ashley comes in. Come on, Ashley. Get on this.
I don't actually think she has a voice.
She said, nope, they're still douchebags.
Well, she's talking about Mike Richards.
Oh,
Jeff Carter.
I thought she was talking about Sweden.
No.
No, she's typing something, though. Why would I be talking about Sweden?
I think Ashley's checked out.
Yeah.
Why would I be talking about Sweden?
I don't know. Let's talk about some Penguins hockey.
Well, actually, what we need to do before we go on to Penguins hockey is somebody needs to purchase Ashley a MacBook. Just someone out there, if you want to make that happen.
I don't have a Mac anymore.
If you have an old MacBook, well, Ashley's computer just like
out
of nowhere, and so it's all jacked up. So if we can get Ashley a computer.
My God.
Ashley sounds like a piece of shit.
Someone tried to jog here for the real thing.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about. But.
He's firing up the Harley.
Are you in the middle of like some machine plant?
Yeah, we call that Coniston. The hole.
We're trying to get you a computer for free, Ashley, so I think we might have to hang up on you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Bye. Oh, my.
For the sake of everything holy, Twitter, buy that girl a MacBook.
That's why, right there. It sounds like the trash compactor in Star Wars.
Now Ken's going to have to make up for her snarkiness absence.
No, he's good at that.
You have a different kind of snarky, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Snarky.
This doesn't require the explicit tag on iTunes.
Oh, come on.
I'm just ribbing you.
That's the worst thing I've ever said on this show.
No, it's not. If you don't remember the loss after game one.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
Like, it was like 5 minutes into the show. Oh, we love Ken Wills.
At least I didn't do it when Doc Emmerich was on.
That's very true. I don't think any of us would be on the air right now if someone did it during.
Yeah.
Doc Emmerich is, we kind of had a significant amount of listeners that evening.
We actually need like the Doc Emmerich censorship button, where like whenever someone's about to take a turn for the worse and use a word that we can't use Monday through Friday before 11 o'clock, we should just hit the button and yell "Drive!" just to drown it out.
You son of a drive!
You know, to cover up some of the more colorful language.
Doc Ellis. I was throwing in some random Pittsburgh Pirates reference for no reason.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's good. Even though he didn't talk about the Pirates being in first place.
Given the way they played tonight, he probably shouldn't.
Yeah. After this evening, I don't know.
Well, that ruined it. That whole thing. You know?
Well, I mean, my thing is with the Buccos. It's like last year started out the same way as this one. It was like we're going into the all-star break. Teams in first place. They're playing well. The pitching's well. The hitting comes around every few nights when it needs to. And bullpen looks great. And then the team just totally went to cow defecate in the second half of the season. And, right back to the old system. That's kind of where I'm at. Last year really was a learning lesson for me. How long baseball season is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no more Jeremy Mills.
You guys. The last few years, and not last few years, but the last few, I mean, the last 20 years, have all been like that, really, or in a lot of ways. We've seen many of them, although usually that in May. and that's the point where everything starts to go downhill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last year we made it all the way to July, so we had that to toast to you.
Sure.
We're still winning in August.
Yeah. Hey,
One month at a time, boys. 1 month at a time.
Same thing I always say about the Pirates is 82 games is my World Series. That's the way I look at it. Because once the drought is over, then at least you can say, hey, I at least won as many games as I lost this year. And that's something we have been going to say in 2 decades. It's a long period of time.
Yeah.
The draft is Friday.
Anyway,
and,
Andy,
in a couple weeks.
Andy,
so
good. I'm talking about.
Well, the little while ago, we actually didn't get to play with the Sens. Traded for Thomas Bogun, and minutes later, signed him to a 2-year, $4 million contract to make $2 million per season for the next 2 years. And no, he's not going to start over Mark Andre Fleury. I saw somebody tweet like something like Fleury needs to be on the bench because we got Bakun now or something, and that's not what the trade was for. So guys, what are your thoughts on that? Good deal. How do you feel about the money? $2 million for a backup goalie. I think it was a good move. I mean, even the money is really not that bad considering the Penguins are paying $7 million for the goaltenders, while Brizgalov, he's making $9 million or something by himself.
Well, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I think the biggest thing to look at here is yes, you're paying $2 million for Thomas Bakun. He's be playing more games, many more games than what Brent Johnson did this year. Johnson and Thiessen together. So we can expect to see much more workload to that backup goaltender. But you're not just paying for that $2 million toward Bakun. You're also, this is an investment toward getting the full salary's worth out of Marc-Andre Fleury, which you're currently paying for. Because a fresh Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be, playing at 100% rather than, 90%, which is, a soft year or two every other night.
Well, I look at it two different ways. In terms of the actual signing itself, is it a good move? No, it's an excellent move. It is probably, if I were to strictly evaluate free agent signings and trades and things like that, I think it's as good of a move this year has made in the last 2 to 3 years. I would say since 2009, this is one of his best moves for a number of reasons. And the money, I don't even have a problem with that. $2 million for Thomas Bakun, I don't have a problem with that because it's a major area of need, and you are getting the best backup goalie on the market. When you take a look at who else is there, Chris Mason, Duane Roloson, Marty Biron, guys like that, if you don't want to end up with a guy like that in another situation to where you have some certainty playing behind Marc-Andre Fleury and you are forced into a situation like the Penguins were in this year where they had to ride Marc-Andre Fleury way too hard, then you're going to have to overpay. And to get a guy who can legitimately play roughly, give or take, more or less a third of your season at a very high level, I think this takes pressure off the Penguins' defense. I think it takes pressure off their bottom six, which was very inconsistent down the stretch. I just think it does a number of things for that team, and you've already got a substantial big – just glaring need on that. Brent Johnson is done as it's going to get. Brad Thiessen is, you have no indication whatsoever that Brad Thiessen can keep his head above water at the NHL level. And, there's just when you look at the alternatives on the market, the fact that the New York Rangers are probably going to be looking for a backup goalie, given the fact that Biron is probably going to be hitting the market and Chad Johnson isn't really an effective backup option for them. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to be in a situation where they can overpay more than a market like Pittsburgh was. So the fact that they just gave up a 7th-round pick and just spent about $1 million more on cap room, roughly, than what Brent Johnson was taking up already, to me it's a no-brain move. Mm-hmm. And the Penguins arguably have the best goalie tandem in the NHL right now with Tim Thomas departing from Boston.
Ah, you took my question. Dang it.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We'll ask Andy and Ken. Do you guys think that the Pens have the best tandem in the league? No.
I like to think so. I mean, you look at, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, he's already won a cup. Vacoon, what, he has two All-Star games under his belt. One's veteran, one's younger. I think it's a good mix there, and they seem to have some chemistry going. I don't know if it's number 92, does that have to do with anything with 29, Fleury? I don't know if that was whatever, but Fleury seemed to be okay with it, and I think maybe some other young goaltenders may not have been okay with that, but Fleury's a, you know, he's a real good guy and seems to be okay with the challenge. And like you guys were saying, Vakun's going to make sure Fleury gets the most out of it, out of his game. So I think it's just a great situation for both guys because, you know, Fleury will have a veteran, and at the same time, Vakun will, you know, have a young guy who's already won a cup. So I think they'll be able to help each other a lot. And I definitely think we have the best goaltending tandem right now.
I think it'll be interesting to see how Thomas Vakun embraces the role of backup, because I was actually kind of surprised to see him, you know, be willing to step into that, because that's the reason why he went to Washington, because he wanted to start for a team, and they were clearly looking for a starter at that point, and he wanted a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Well, he definitely has that in Pittsburgh, too, but he doesn't have that opportunity to be a starting goaltender. Now, he can say right now that he's totally fine with being a backup, but actually go and live that through 82 seasons is another story. On the contrary, though,
it's a long season.
It is, but that might not be such a bad thing for a goaltender, not to just sit back and be like, "Oh, okay, I'm cool with my role." To actually push Fleury a little bit on that sort of idea, you know, a little bit of competition.
This is one, you know, the strongest point that I could possibly make to prove how good of a move this is by Ratio and the Pittsburgh Penguins to acquire Vakun, is that you have to look at the fact that most postseason teams don't do what the LA Kings did this year, where they just kind of roll through it and they don't, you know, they don't really play a lot of games in the grand scheme of things. Most teams, when you look at it, takes either, you know, 6 or 7 games to get through each series. So if you're looking at 2 6-game series and 2 7-game series, you're adding on 12 and then 14, you're adding on 26 games onto an 82-game season. So most goalies in today's NHL should not be playing 60 games or more season. So if you can have Thomas Vakun play, you know, when you get to that point in the season, like the November through the February kind of mark, where it's not really in the playoffs, if Thomas Vakun plays 30 games this year, I would not be surprised, given the fact that it just alleviates so much pressure off the goalie. I mean, you look at the different tandems around the league, Rask and Thomas, Lindback, Rene, all these different things. I mean, in the month of March, sometimes your best, your most important player is your backup goalie, and the Penguins found that out the hard way this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had somebody on Twitter, too, say something about F. Mancino says it was a good idea. Workload isn't so much on Mark. I don't think Brent is very good, sorry to say, but I hope he leaves.
He's not
going to
stay.
Yeah, his time is up.
Unless he can play defense.
He might be the new enforcer. Yeah. I don't know what this really does to the psyche for future free agents, free agent goaltenders for the Penguins farm team, or even just signing guys out of college, you know, prospects, whatever. But over the past 3, 4, 5 years, not one of these stellar award-winning AHL goalies have had the chance to just fill the shoes of a backup role in the NHL without Giroux making some kind of free agent signing for a veteran backup. At some point, I think you have to kind of think that in the back of their mind, why would you come to Pittsburgh to play in this organization if you can't even get into a backup role without having some kind of controversy there for a signing? So kind of just wondering what that would look like kind of down the line, but you would have to think it has some kind of effect.
Yeah, but I'm not totally sure that Brad Thiessen is ever an NHL caliber. He's a great keeper and does a fantastic job down in the NHL, but it's a different game. It definitely has a different speed. And we haven't come close to seeing that kind of speed from Brad Thiessen while he has been in the NHL. He's been a serviceable goaltender, but I don't think he's anybody you can rely on consistently.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk a lot about defense being one of those positions where it takes a lot of time to kind of season yourself and get ready for the NHL. Goaltending is exactly the same thing. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, Tim Thomas is one of those examples where he didn't really hit kind of a consistent part of his game until he was at least 30 years old. So, Thiessen being one of the younger guys on the team, but he's had great success early on in his career. It's kind of a shame to see him go. But like you said, Ken, is the NHL ready? I don't think so. I think a lot of those starts that he had this year, they're very protected starts. And but it's just kind of the name of the game. I think this is a great signing by Ray Shiro. I think Focun's going to do a great job. He's going to push Flower. So it's what you really want in your backup keeper. So can't go wrong there.
Yeah. Well, since Focun was going to be a free agent, I threw out the question a little earlier, which Penguins pending unrestricted or restricted free agent would you want to keep if you had to pick one? So I'll ask you guys the same thing. You have Matt Niskanen, Brian Strait, Carl Sneap, Tangredi, Jason Williams, Brent Johnson, Alex Picard, Steve McIntyre, Richard Park, Robert Bertuzzo, Colin McDonald, and Cal O'Reilly.
Can you make the list shorter?
I feel like the list isn't even important there because one guy really just sticks out to me, and I'm sure we're all going to agree to this.
Eric Tangredi.
Steve McIntyre.
Absolutely.
I may have a different one, actually. We all agree that we have one choice, but there's one I want to throw in because I know where everyone else is going.
Would you say your obvious choice?
Niski.
Yeah.
Niskanen.
What do you think, Depto?
Well, I mean, Niskanen, I think, since Niskanen is the obvious consensus number one, the one guy that I would definitely throw into that is Robert Bertuzzo, who's an RFA. And when you take a look at the fact that, and I'm not putting these players down because they have had moments with Pittsburgh, but that's all they've really had is moments. Guys like Derek Engelin and Ben Lovejoy, neither one of these guys have proven that they can be effective for 82 games a season. They're always kind of rotating in and out of spots. Derek Engelin had a really strong first half, but as the season kind of went on, he was very prone to being out of position and a lot of turnovers like that. Bertuzzo's got a lot of size. He was in the AHL All-Star game just a year ago. He's got a lot of ability. He looked, prior to getting the concussion from Zach Rinaldo at the beginning of the season in that Philadelphia Flyers game, he looked really, really good during his call-up with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So given the fact that you may be looking at a situation trying to alleviate cap room by potentially moving Mahalik or Martin, or maybe even getting in the bad re-signing situation with Crystal Tang later on down the line, having a young guy like Bertuzzo who has a lot of upside and can play at a reduced price is a really big benefit to have, even when you have Morrow and Harrington in there, because Bertuzzo is probably bottom pairing ready now, whereas Harrington and Morrow might be a year or two away.
Robert Bertuzzo is a really good person to mention. I think when I say Niskanen, I think when a lot of us say Niskanen, a lot of us are thinking about what is the outside threat at taking some of these guys away, Bertuzzo and RFA in that case. Carl Sneap is one who I'm really interested in seeing what he's going to do down the road, but I don't think there's much of a threat to him from outside the organization. Matt Niskanen, to me, is someone who there is an imminent threat, and I don't think we can afford to have another person poached from our regular six this offseason, especially if we're looking to shake things up in some ways. Unless, we can get a pretty good exchange, Matt Niskanen leaves, and we get...
Yeah, it depends on what he signs for somewhere else. You could get a pretty good return back for him, but at the same time, you have guys like Simone Dupre pushing that envelope to spend the year up here. So it kind of makes Niskanen a little bit more expendable, too. I like Depto's pick of Robert Bertuzzo because I think he's one of the more underrated guys in the entire system.
He is.
Anybody want to sign Steve McIntyre?
And he's on Twitter, so. No, Mac, you're gone.
I wouldn't sign him for the Wheeling Nailers.
And that's right. It.
Yep, that'll do it for our live feed. You can check out the rest on the podcast. We'll see
stuff coming up next week, man.
Yeah.
That's the way the law
is. Listen to us. Well, we don't have the exact stuff yet, so.
That's how you apply the fucking show.
Can we please get a sound clip of Ken saying, "This stuff's coming up next week, man."
You tell that Aldo and those sweaty, fruity Italians that they could come down here and pay for this themselves.
It's just the guy calls. You're not fit to wear this shit anymore.
Yeah, well,
wheeling today. I was heading up to Pittsburgh today, and it was the most. I thought it'd be way too much today because it was like it's a dirty work day of all days. I followed the Aldo's truck, and then I was ending up. I was on Kirkpatrick Lane, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Hope you weren't on Kirkpatrick Street. That's in the middle of the Hill District.
Yeah, you're right. It was Kirkpatrick Street.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we will have some cool
Kirkpatrick's
things
coming.
Kind of
punch you in the gut if you don't listen to the Sensation Radio Show.
Yeah, that's my department.
We will have some cool things coming up next week though for the draft week. So
tailgating.
Yeah, we're tailgating too.
Got some big
I was kind of referring. We'll have a lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff on the shows next week. We'll go Monday through Friday. We'll have some giveaways, some interviews. It should be a fun time.
Residence Inn, baby.
Yeah, Residence Inn.
Weekend stay.
Holiday Inn.
We're going to give out invitations to the tailgate. That's exactly what it is.
It's amazing.
And you have to bring us beer.
Invitations to my cousin's graduation party.
Yes. Yeah.
They're all crashing.
That party crashing.
You could be a part of the Penn's Nation reality TV show.
You guys.
All you need is the internet and a fake Twitter handle. You're in.
You guys
are too much.
It's crazy. Like I was saying, though, it's crazy to me that free agency is like 2.5 weeks wide already.
No.
Already here. It just feels like just yesterday we were doing, I remember the day before Nick and I were hanging out down the street. And then we went and
to the Bruce Springsteen show.
I wish. I did see Springsteen in Pittsburgh 2 years ago. But we were hanging out. We went to we went to Big Daddy's Donuts in Crafton that night.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And then we ended up doing the late night show the night before. And to this day, not putting down any of our other shows.
That was Yager Watch, and that was when I was at the airport.
Yeah.
Running down Yinzers with mullets.
That was kind of my favorite show I've ever done.
Which July 1st was epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that night or two before that one they're talking about, it may have been one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, I think that was mine.
Ty calling me a pussy.
I'll put it in his ass.
Andy!
One of my favorites.
Drive!
You
expect that kind of behavior from me, but not you.
Yeah, not for Andy.
What did I say? I said this pussy.
We need that clip too for saying that creepy ass voice.
We have to remix that.
All I said.
Like Mr. Rogers' remix. Have you ever seen a cat?
Oh, that Mr. Rogers' remix is awesome.
It's incredible.
In the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
You can raise ideas in the garden of your mind.
Let's just do a Doc Emmerich remix. Guys.
You don't even know who that is.
Actually, we're going to delete the show so no one takes that idea. Because that could potentially be huge.
There's a lot of reasons to delete this show.
That's
yeah. Namely, the first 10 minutes.
If we could just get the last, like, 15 15 minutes of the show, of the live portion. I feel like it would be good.
I thought the first 10 minutes were gold. That was a solid conversation.
Gold, Terry, it's gold.
It wasn't all relevant. But at least we were talking about hockey.
Yeah, we did get into hockey.
I think so. Which, you think, you know, is still a good thing. We can still talk about that, or not, whichever.
I think we should just hang up.
I'm glad you're so happy to do this show today.
Dude, I'm on like 3 hours sleep last night in Pittsburgh talking Spanish all day. This is...
Yeah, I don't...
My head's hurt. Then I ate Five Guys and I've been wanting to sleep all day.
You ate Five Guys?
Oh.
Okay, guys. Hey, Five Guys.
Joe really does have parental advisory numbers.
You guys.
Joe, there's something clearly on your mind, and I want to know what it is.
It's a garden of his mind.
You should make ideas.
He's planting seeds in the garden of his mind.
He's planting seeds somewhere.
Nick was planting seeds with Five Guys.
Oh, just eat them.
It's good to be curious about many things.
That could be our intro for the next show.
Yeah, oh, no, we can't. Not next week. Maybe the week after.
Jeez.
You know, that's July. That'll be July 1st. Dang.
Have you ever... Have you ever...
July 1st, everybody should take off work.
Yeah, totally. Celebrate Fox Day. Have you ever Google image Doc Emmerich?
What, is there something like crazy?
It's a good picture of him with a pirate parrot. It's awesome.
I need to see this.
Coming your way.
Oh, my God, yeah. Doc's not smiling at all.
No, he's straight up.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
For gangster Emmerich.
Oh, my God.
He's all like, yes, Saeed.
This is like a Twitter picture.
Why does the pirate parrot look like the Gordon Fisherman? So, Joe, you had something on your mind?
Hockey-related or non-hockey-related?
It seemed to be hockey-related.
Well, I was, I guess the only thing that's been, you know, kind of, I guess, interesting for me to talk about is the fact that there's still, at least from what, you know, Josh Taylor was tweeting, excuse me, some other stuff I read, it seems like there's still at least some interest in the Penguins retaining Aaron Ashton, which is really, really surprising to me. I have to be honest, I did not see that coming.
Me either. Seeing what he did in the Flyer series, I didn't think there was a chance.
Yeah, he kind of died to me that, especially in Game 3. You know... We don't agree on much on this show.
We need to do just a song saying goodbye to Aaron Ashum. Like, Aaron Ashum, this is your life. You stab a guy with a knife.
And I say, fuck off.
I am not ever... No, my kids are never meeting any of you guys.
Dude, I'm the only one okay tonight. What the
fuck? And we've all met your kid.
Yeah.
I'll be talking for the party.
Well, let's hang up.
Talk without recording.
No, let's seriously just hang.